And I'll start by saying Happy New Year, a little bit early, right? Happy New Year. I love that phrase, Happy New Year, right? Because it sort of starts us off in the way that we should be focused at this time of the year. Coming out of the joy of Christmas, going into the new year, it should be Happy New Year. But sometimes it doesn't start that way. I know many people that don't like New Year's. They don't like it at all. In fact, many people start with this idea of this. They think, Happy New Year's and congratulations. Why? Because your car has depreciated $1,000 already, right? Your new clothes that you have is now last year's clothes, okay? You're going into another year and another birthday. Maybe the roof, the heating, the equipment you have in your house, it's a year closer to it being replaced. And here in the desert, that's probably a reality, right? You're going to have to start gathering information and preparing for what? Federal income taxes. Probably how many people have already started doing that? Some people have, right? Okay. You've just paid a whole lot of interest and debt while reducing very little of the principal. And you are 1 year nearer death. And eternity. Okay, so let's not forget about that. So even though we talk about this, we know that 2019, the year that we are going into, is going to be a great year, right? I mean, this year of grace of 2018 is just great. We've survived another 360-day battle of life. God has rewarded us with a new year. And what we say, praise God. It is a battle that we have in this world, right? Praise God is right. And so as we head into this new year, this is how I like to look at it. Not the way you just saw, but this way. That a new year is a new beginning. It's a new challenge. It's new opportunities. It's new potential. It's new friendships. It's new expansion of your life. What else is it? It's new changes that you've been waiting for. It's new adventures that you've long sought after. And it's new good that you can serve others with in this world as well. See, perspective is really how it all works, and that perspective starts with us. The perspective of how we view things and how we look towards the new year, it starts with us and the Spirit working inside of us. It's not reliant on anybody else or anything else. It's reliant on the Spirit working in us and us positioning ourselves with the right focus as we go into this new year. And I believe this new year is a new beginning, and I look at every new year that way. See, it's full of possibilities and opportunities, isn't it? I mean, think about this. You have 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, and over 31 million seconds. The question is, what will you do with those? What will you do with those in this new year? It's an interesting question. And I think we can actually look to Scripture to see how the disciples and others have actually used that time. If we look at Philippians chapter 3, we can see these verses that Paul says this: not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I find great comfort in those verses. I don't know about you, but for some reason, Philippians is such a great book, and I find comfort in it. But these words, I find great comfort as we go into the new year. I do because I love what Paul says here. He's admitting to the fact that he has had failures and that he's not perfect. We know that, right? I mean, Paul says that there was a thorn in his side and there were things that were bothering him. And he says, I have not already attained it. I'm not already perfected, okay? But what I am doing is I'm holding on to what Christ has given me and I am pushing on towards the goal. And he says also what? He says, I push on towards the goal, but the key thing before that is he says these words, I am forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are ahead. and therefore I press on towards the goal. See, I think those are great words for us individually, but I think they're great words for us corporately. As we as a church sort of put this year behind us and look forward to the year that we have ahead and continue to press on towards the goal that Christ has given us. And as we do that, I believe there's a lot that's there. What Paul is basically saying is this. Paul's goal is to know Christ, to be like Christ, and to be all Christ had in mind for him. I mean, that's what he's trying to do. And for a new year, I think those are good words for us to hear. For us to seek to know Christ, to be like Christ, and to be all that Christ had in mind for us. And that's a high order, I think. But see, many of us, just like we read from Paul here, he had goals that he was striving for. Many of us, well, we'll have resolutions that we'll put in place this year. How many of us actually set resolutions? Admit it. Come on, admit it. I admit it. How many of us actually continue to live those out all year? Most don't happen, right? I mean, resolutions are easy to make, but they're very hard to keep. Resolutions, maybe you know that from your past experience, and that's why you don't do it any longer, is you've made these promises or these resolutions of things you're going to do, but then ultimately you get to the end of January or to February, and you're just not following through with them any longer, right? That's what tends to happen. The top New Year's resolutions are these: to spend more time with family and friends, to get more fit, more in shape. That's why all the gyms are packed, right? Coming up at the first of the year. But then by February, they're cleared out again, right? Tame the bulge, right? 55% of Americans are overweight, and people are wanting to lose weight, especially after Christmas when you're eating all the stuff you eat. Many people want to quit smoking or enjoy life more or quit drinking or get out of debt or learn something new or to help others and get organized. See, those are the top resolutions. And New Year's resolution in itself, well, they're not bad, but they're a challenge is what it is. A challenge for change, a challenge for improvement, a challenge for higher level of success in our lives, and a challenge for more effort and determination. It's a challenge for accomplishment. And there's nothing wrong with these at all. That's not what I'm going to say today. But today what I'd like to do is suggest three great encouragements for each one of us in this new year. And these three great encouragements are these. One is to be a disciple of Jesus. Two is to be a peacemaker of Jesus. And three is to be a servant of Jesus. I believe that if we all take these to heart, that it'll transform our saviors and it'll transform our community. Once again, be a disciple of Jesus, be a peacemaker for Jesus, and to be a servant of Jesus. So let's talk about these a little bit. The first one I encourage you is to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, this seems like something that is just easy for us to say, to be a disciple, for us just to say we're going to follow Jesus, but that's a lot harder than it really sounds, isn't it? To truly follow Jesus and be like Jesus. I mean, John says this, and this is the first part we can get. He says, then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. See, a disciple has a desire to truly see Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He wants to know Jesus. And as we go into this new year, the question I have for you, are you ready to truly see Jesus and to know Jesus? And are you putting steps in place to actually do that? See, in Acts 4, we actually read this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. It's amazing how transformation is the best sort of model for Christ in our lives. I mean, the evidence of discipleship is actually a changed life, of us acting differently, And people seeing that we don't act as everyone else, seeing that we actually act different than other people, seeing that we pray or that we actually help others and serve others, and we're concerned about other people. See, your changed life can actually be something that can help change other people too. I mean, many of us have seen this transformation in our lives, haven't we? People who have come to faith later in their lives, and we know what their life was before, and we see what their life is now, and we go, that could only be possible through Jesus. And that's what God calls us to. And that's what Paul's looking for. In that passage we just read, Paul is looking for that transformation to continue because he knows he hasn't yet attained it. But it's something that he continually strives for, is to be improved by Jesus and the Spirit working in us, to shape us to be more like the people he wants us to be, to continually work inside of us so that we truly become the disciple of Jesus Christ. And then in Romans we read these words, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, here's an open avenue for gaining discipleship, a willingness to do what is necessary. Discipleship is more than just being saved from our past sins. It involves conforming one's life into the image of Jesus Christ, conforming one's actions into the way of Jesus. We know that this is important, but God's purpose would be that we would serve and honor him and no one else. Faithful disciples do serve and they do honor God. The next is I encourage you to be a peacemaker, a peacemaker for Jesus. See, our world actually, I think, is a place right now that is completely a place that is not filled with peace. I mean, everything you see on TV and the news and everywhere else, it's all about arguments and getting my way. It's not about peacemaking. And peacemaking is something that we are called to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, this is in the middle of the Beatitudes, it says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And if we are called sons of God, then we should be looking for peace everywhere that we go and trying to make peace everywhere we go, not trying to disrupt things. And unfortunately, that's not seems to be how we act. So many times we tend to act the different ways, and especially in the church and in the world, we tend to go out and we tend to want to be the Christians that stand for a certain thing. And so much we get sort of labeled with the things that we stand against, rather than realizing and letting people know the things that we stand for. And if we let people know what we stand for, I believe peacemaking will be much easier for us. See, Matthew 12 says this, "But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand.'" See, there always has been a need for peacemakers. Since the fall in Genesis, there is always a need for peacemaking. And there will always be a need for it as well. As long as sinful human beings are filled in this world until Jesus comes back, peacemaking is something we will all have to be striving for. And peace helps. Division hurts. And I would say as we go forward as a church, the key thing we need to do is come together and unify to make sure that the messages we are sending to the community is one that is a unified message of us living the love of Jesus each and every day. And Ephesians says this in chapter 4, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bear with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." What an amazing verse that is, isn't it? That we are actually called to go and keep unity of the Spirit among us. So that why? So that there's a bond of peace among us as we go forth. as we go forward. That we are unified around our vision, unified around the things that we are doing, unified around the worship that we are conducting, unified around making a difference in this world, so that ultimately all of us are working in the same direction. And that we ultimately are unified because we are peacemakers with one another and with the community that is around us too. See, we are not here against the community or against the world. We are here for the community and for the world. Does that make sense? Amen. That's more and more what we need to act like in everything that we do. And then finally, I encourage you to be a servant of Jesus. This is one that seems easy, but it's not so easy for us because we have so much going on in our lives, so many things that we're focused on, that sometimes we forget that we are called just to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. Luke 17 actually says this, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. See, it's interesting as we think about this and we see these words that part of a disciple is truly just to serve. That's what we do. I mean, that's what Jesus did as he came into this world, as we just celebrated as a baby. He came at the lowest form he could come in, a helpless baby in the manger. And all he did from the time that he came into this world was serve other people. Serve people in any capacity that he could. He did anything that needed to be done and everything that needed to be done so that you and I could be served. He lived a life perfectly that you and I can't live. He went to the cross and died there so that we could have forgiveness of his sins. Then he rose again so that you and I could be assured of eternal life. And as I say, that changes everything for us. And so today we are called also to be servants. And what is it that we can expect as servants? These aren't goals of servants. This is what you can expect. You cannot expect these things. Don't expect popularity. Don't expect power. Don't expect respect. Don't expect ego. And don't expect thanks. Because Jesus says you are here to serve. And when you serve and truly serve, those are not things you search for or look for. You are here to serve because Jesus and the Spirit empowers you to do so. But the great thing is this, that the things that we can look for, that what we can expect as a sermon is this, an opportunity to develop Christ-likeness, an opportunity to leave a godly heritage for our family and the family of faith that is here. An opportunity for a great reward in heaven because of our service and because of what Jesus has done. It's not that we earn salvation, but it's partly what we are called to do. And an opportunity to save souls and help in the spiritual development of others. Then an opportunity to please God as never before. I mean, those are what we can expect as a servant. As we think about this, this year's challenge is this. For us, one, to be a disciple of Jesus. For us, two, to be peacemakers with the community and the world around us and with our fellow brothers and sisters. And three, to be a servant of Jesus, serving in every capacity and in any way that we can. See, I believe if we actually commit ourselves going into this new year to these challenges that are here, I believe this will be the greatest year for our Saviors. I believe if we live this out in our lives and we allow the Spirit to work in us, to develop us, and to lead us in this direction, that this year has opportunity beyond anything we could ever imagine, but it is going to take us committing ourselves to something greater, to the greater goals that God gives us. And I believe this is what God has called us to, because this is what Scripture says. See, I believe that we have huge potential before us. And the question that I used to hate is this one. What would Jesus do? WWJD, right? I used to hate that. And I don't know why it bothered me so much, but it bothered me a lot. And I got to think about it more and more, and I actually think that it's a good thing for us to think about this. Because if Jesus were you right now, what would he do? If Jesus were in your position right now, what would he do? If Jesus were us right here at our Savior's, what would Jesus do? Well, I think what he would do is commit himself and want everybody to commit themselves to what we just talked about, right? I mean, what would Jesus do is a phrase that I think we can carry into this new year. No matter what we do, we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? When you're at the supermarket and you're confronted with an individual that you just go, this is weird, what would Jesus do? When you're out in the community and you meet someone that maybe is not the same view as you or doesn't look the same as you and you're challenged in a discussion with them, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And think about what it means to be a peacemaker in this community. And take this phrase of what would Jesus do to heart as we go to live the love of Jesus each and every day. To truly understand what would it mean if I was more Christ-like. Because if I was more Christ-like, answering the question of what Jesus would do would be natural and easy. Because the Spirit is alive in us. And remember, this is not possible without the Spirit working in us. All of this would not be possible if it wasn't for Jesus being born in the manger that we celebrated last week. And all of this wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for you and I who have been saved by Jesus, set free from the bonds of the law, and freely forgiven so that we could actually be free to live the life he has called us to live without worry, without shame, without guilt, and without anything at all. Just a freedom to go and serve and be like him. My prayer is that that would be something that would empower you and would encourage you as you go into the new year. And then instead of setting a resolution that really may not mean much and that you may drop in just a few weeks, that you may take these and embrace these as we go together into this new year. And we look forward to the opportunities that God will provide. It is in Jesus' name and to his glory I pray. Amen. Would you join me in prayer?